Alrighty, everyone. Welcome to the Tripod Live Show with Winnie and Clarkie. We are here live for our Round 3 NRL preview. Before we get to that, let me welcome in my co-host as always. Winnie, how are you going?
I'm great, thanks, mate. We had a good Round 2. To give you a lightning recap, we went 3-1 on our best bets. We cover them in our Sunday show, of course. Our winners, Penrith, Brisbane and Dragons with the line. One loser, Eels with the line. We won the mixed matchup. We lost the same game multi. We did lose Clarkie's try scorer, but we are in profit on all fronts. The beauty of the mixed matchup, once again, it's not quite like a multi because you don't have to get every part right. I went against the Sharks total. I got that wrong. The Sharks without Nico scored 30 points, but I got the Dragons part just a little bit more right. They scored 32, so we'll take it. And just on the note of the recap show, Clarkie, you, of course, weren't with us here live. We will get to the best bets in just a second, but I thought I've got a little special segment I thought we'd do right now where I thought, let me see if I can just put this on the screen. Since you didn't have a chance to tell everyone your thoughts from the weekend, let's put this up on the screen. And what happened, mate? You were 12-2 up. Clarkie's going to tell us his reaction. I don't know if you were in Sydney. I don't know if you went to the game or you just caught the game live. But I'd also like to welcome our audience and allow them to roast Clarkie because he wasn't here on Sunday to cop his medicine. So let Clarkie know what you thought of his team on the weekend as well.
Yeah, look, I was at the stadium live and there was the moment where Dragons scored on half time and I had my iPad up with the halftime score ready to hit posts for 12 all. And of course, in the Dragons score, Dragons fans behind me who must have recognized me from the page, they saw me scrambling to update the score, export it and get it ready on Instagram. And I got a good spray from the crowd there. And rightfully so, really, really frustrating game to be there live. Had I have known we were going to get thumped, I tell you what, Winnie, I would have been it for the show. I can promise you all that. For those who are new here to the preview show, we run for about an hour. We'll go through the structure of our show. We've got our best bets. We preview all 8 games. We get exclusive market insight from the Top Sport CEO. We go through our Top Sport mix matchup. I give my try score of the week. And of course, it is a live show. So we respond to your comments as we can. We can see them pop up on the screen there. And yeah, I think that's the funnest part about this all. We are live and we like to interact as we go. But with that being said, it is time for everyone's favorite segment. The reason why you're all here, the reason why you all love Winnie so much, it's the best bets. And they are presented by Lana Tradie Software. Lana helps tradies to ensure they win more jobs and never lose the lead again. Titans, I'm looking at you. If you're a tradie or any business owner looking for an edge, Lana is your best bet. Use our show code TPLIVE to save 10% off. Check out their website and book a consult to find out more. With that being said, Winnie, let's hand it over to you. How are our best bets looking for round 3?
We've got a couple of best bets, mate, and we are taking a pair of favorites. As I bring it up on the screen, we're going Brisbane Broncos back to the well again. Third straight week. We have won the previous 2 weeks. Lay the 11.5, -11.5, $1.90 on Sportsbet. They host the Dragons. They're far superior. It's revenge because the Dragons ended the Broncos season last week. I just think as good as the Dragons played, that gives us the opportunity that keeps this line a little bit lower because the Dragons looked impressive, but I don't think they're on the level of the Broncos who've played two legitimate oppositions and been the better side on the park. And then, as I remove that comment, sorry, just so it doesn't cover up the other best bet, Bulldogs -9.5. So another strong favourite. Look, Bulldogs looked about as good as they could look last week and Tigers about as bad as they could look. You generally don't want to be on that because it's quite obvious, but I feel like this line could still move a bit further. So I want to get on the Dogs while it's a single-digit line because I think they won't want to waste the momentum that they built down in Melbourne. While the Tigers are genuinely in a bit of disarray. They really looked a bit lost to clearly not all singing from the same hymn sheet, and they do have a few players out from Sunday afternoon as well. So I'm willing to lay the lumber with a couple of favourites. What do you reckon about those, Clarkie?
Well, I'll tell you what, I am tipping the Broncos 13+ this round, so I love that. As for the Doggies one, the Tigers do look in all sorts. I do have a question regarding sort of the lines and the movements post-show. Have you found in the past that this show has sort of an influence directly over some of the betting markets and in particular those lines?
Yeah, it certainly has for a number of years now. And so that's where it's become, that's one of the reasons why we share the best bets at the very start. I mean, in a perfect world, we would just go game by game and I'd start to tell you what I think of, you know, this Broncos-Dragons game. And in the end, I'd say, and therefore, my best bet's going to be Broncos. And you would have heard my full reasoning and you could decide if you want to back it. And I stopped doing that because if I started to tell you how I was going to see the Broncos-Dragons game, people would hear me talking up the Broncos and say, he's going to have a best bet on them. And people were actually preemptively betting just what they thought would be a best bet to make sure they got on before the odds moved. So now I just say, here's the best bet at the start. If you want it, that's your opportunity because you're seeing it at the same time everyone else in the world is. The only person who knows the best bets prior to us going live is me. I don't tell anybody. And then if you want the full reasoning, you listen a bit longer. The longer you leave it through the week, the lines and odds can move. Doesn't mean I'm always right, but you've got to think about it this way. If the bookies didn't think these were good bets, they wouldn't move the odds or the line. So over a long period of time, they've certainly done all right. That's for sure.
Absolutely. And you do safeguard those tips. With a 9-year winning record, even I can't get them ahead of schedule, guys. So that's why we like to do the best bets up front, presented by Lana Tradie Software. We move on to the games. Thursday night, we've got the Manly Seagulls up against the Eels at Four Pines Park. The line is set at -3.5 in Manly's favour. For Manly, Josh Schuster returns, which means Cooper Johns drops out of their side. And for the Eels, it's the same 17 that have lost the first two games. No changes there, Winnie. So with that in mind, how are you seeing the Thursday night game?
Well, the first thing I see in this game is it's an absolute desperation spot for Parramatta. Their next two opponents, get this, if you didn't know, are the Panthers and the Roosters, and somehow they catch them both the week after they've had a bye. And speaking of byes, Manly is off the bye this week as well. So three straight weeks, Parra has to play a team that got to put their feet up the week before. We have a team in Parramatta, if you've watched them play, could have won their first two games. They could be 2-0, could be counts for nothing. They're 0-2, and they could be 0-5 if they don't win this one. So you know that they're going to throw the kitchen sink at Manly. On the other hand, Manly, what's the bye worth? I do think, obviously, you are freshened up. You get longer time to prepare. Nobody can get injured or suspended last week. You know, you're not playing a game. You get injured training, much less likely. But I will say I think the benefit of a bye is not so strong early in a season because you didn't need to rest up. You didn't necessarily need that break, whereas the other team actually got an extra week of match fitness, extra preparation. So I wouldn't say that that really hurts Parramatta's chances massively. What does is still missing Ryan Madison. You know, you go back to how close those games were, it could have helped. I know Mitch Hopgrate has been a revelation at lock there, so Maddo wouldn't necessarily be playing that position, but he could have helped on an edge or he could have helped add depth to the forward rotation. Unfortunately, Maddo, while he's sitting maybe watching the pod 4K richer, he's not going to be playing again in this one. I look at the Manly side and I think Tuolungi is a great pickup. They got Schuster back this week. I think Manly matches up really well with the Eels. So I thought I might be on the Eels this week, catching the start, but I couldn't do it. You mean you've got Tommy with another game under his belt, and of course it's at Brookie. I feel that this line's about right, so I stayed off it.
Yeah, interesting one around the question you posed, how much is the bye worth? Now, we don't have too much evidence yet, but we did see the Dragons look pretty fresh over the 80 minutes. Potentially that was the Titans fading out of it. We won't know until we've got a larger sample size, but what we do know at present, whilst it is a small size, that the bye did make Dragons look pretty fresh. Does that influence Manly? I like Manly in this one, but I do acknowledge with you, Winnie, that the Eels will be quite desperate. Here's a stat. Mitchell Moses has actually never won a game at Four Pines in his career, and the longer his contract saga drags on with the Eels, is he staying? Is he going? Maybe putting a bit of doubt in his teammates. As you touched on, it's an extremely tough draw for the Eels, and I think they might continue to struggle. We saw them push through an extension for Brad Arthur this week. It's not too often we see coaches start the season 0-2 and get extended for another 2 years. Was that potentially, you know, there's a lot of outside noise. Let's get something positive out there. And so the Eels will definitely be desperate. And meanwhile, Manly haven't won back-to-back NRL games since July last year, which is a pretty big stat. But I do think this is a new Manly side with what I've seen in round one and the preseason challenge. Seabold has the backing of the board. The turbo comeback is going to keep improving them every week from what we've seen. And I do think Schuster and DC are a dream halves combo. So for me, I'm going to take Manly. I think they'll win comfortably. I think they'll win by 10 in that one. Friday night, the Dolphins are up against the Knights at McDonald Jones Park. The line is set at -4.5 in the Dolphins' favour. For the Knights, strap in at home. Ponga's out, replaced by Gamble. Brayley's out, replaced by Crossland. Frizzell and Jacob Saifidi are out, and they are replaced by debutants Ryan Rivett and Dylan Lucas. Some huge changes there for the Knights. For the Dolphins, just the two changes. Jeremy Marshall-King is suspended, so Cody Nikorima moves to hooker, and Ray Stone returns from his knee injury, which means Mason Teague is out. When do you think this one will be a close one like that line suggests, or you think the Dolphins will make it 3-0?
Well, first of all, fins up. Let me just remind you, Clarky, my team won on the weekend. Yours did not. Mate, I should have saved you some time. Would have been easier if you just told everyone who was in for the Knights than who's out. That's how tough it is, scenes in Newcastle this week. And this game has already been much discussed in the Tripod Punters Tips forum, because I did put a post up on Monday and just said, seeing all the people that were going to be out for the Dolphins, I said, no way the Dolphins will still be $1.80 on Wednesday. So trying to give a bit of market intel out there to anyone, not necessarily showing my hand or saying that I deep dived the game and that I loved the Dolphins, but saying I knew a lot of people would be backing the Dolphins this weekend, might as well get the best price. And some people asked me, what do you think the line will be by Wednesday? I said 5.5, where 4.5, 5.5 are pretty much an interchangeable line, and it is 5.5 in a lot of places. So what do I think of the game now? As much as I just joked about how many players are out for the Knights, 1-7 is not too bad. You're just losing Ponga. I say just, he's their best player, but you've got Gamble to cover that. You've got the most aggravating set of halves in the competition, so I can't wait to see those two get stuck in. The pack is very light for the Knights. So Crossland's a makeshift 9, and then, you know, they've got all first graders in their starting pack, but bench gets very thin, and, like, they're lucky that Croker is back. That's very timely, but have they rushed him back? Johns has got an ankle injury and still on the bench. And as you said, 2 on debut, where the Finns only lose Marshall King. So based on what I've seen of the Dolphins, what I know they're capable of now, they are the better team. They should actually come in and win this and make it 3 from 3. The Knights' injury and suspension list at this time of the season is horrendous, hence why I tried to give that heads up on Monday. But I will say this, from Newcastle's perspective, I'm not saying disrespect the fish, you know, do that at your own peril. But they're kind of lucky they get the Dolphins this week, because I still think it is winnable. And I think they proved on Sunday, winning, as bad as West are, we can acknowledge West are not a good side, but with everyone who was out already for the Knights on Sunday, when they played that game a man short for 35 minutes, how did they win? They won on the back of defense. So if they can come in and defend in a similar fashion this week, you know, I know everyone thinks the Dolphins are way better than the Tigers. They're in better form, but the Dolphins aren't actually a better list than the Tigers are. So I think if the Knights could hold the Tigers basically to one try for 79 minutes, maybe they could repeat that effort. It's their home opener in Newcastle. The thing about the Newcastle fans, they don't actually necessarily pay their money to come out and watch the superstars like Callum Ponga. What they want to come out and watch is a hard-working effort, a team that gives everything. And I think Newcastle could look to be inspired by what they produced on Sunday and back that up. And I think the crowd gets behind them. I don't know if it leads into a victory. I'm not saying play the plus 5.5, 4.5 now, but I would slightly lean to the Knights with the start. I'm going to warn people, I don't think Wayne's boys get this as easy as a lot of others might predict.
I'm seeing that one pretty differently. Before I start, though, I've got to give a big shout out to Dan. He's sitting on a plus 5.5 Finns ticket. That's an awesome little collect there. You know, dare I say, Winnie, the Titans looked really good against the Tigers in round one, and we were so disappointing in round two. The Knights looked good last week against the Tigers. Are they going to come out and be disappointing this round? Are we sort of misjudging sides based off the Tigers? For this one, I like the Dolphins a lot. I think it's crazy that they could start the year 3-0, given how much people doubted them in the preseason, myself included. I'm not going to sit there and say that I didn't. I thought they'd start the season like 1-5 at best, so I'm really surprised. What it has shown is that Wayne Bennett still has it. He still has an ability to just get every player up for the game. Here's a crazy stat for Knights. There's no home advantage here. They have only won one of their past 11 at McDonald Jones. And with injuries all throughout this side, two debutants coming in, here's the main problem that I have, Winnie. Although you can say that their spine isn't quite as bad as it looks, the two remaining members of their spine in Miller and Jackson Hastings have only played the two games together. So it's really like it's a whole new spine right now because they don't have any cohesion. Crossland, I certainly don't see him having the best effort for 80 minutes in the middle. I think it's a really tough task for a utility in any situation. And so all spines here lead to the Dolphins for me. The Knights were great last week. It's Gagai's 150th game. It's a big occasion for him at home. But with their poor record there recently and the fact they the last time the Knights won back-to-back games was rounds 1 and 2 last year. Of course, they would be looking at back-to-back wins here. I've got the Dolphins by plenty. I'd actually feel comfortable tipping the Dolphins by 10 in this one. I've seen it a bit different to you there, Winnie. I'm confident on the Dolphins here. But yeah, should be a great game regardless. Not the game we're all looking forward to on Friday night, though, because the game we are all looking forward to on Friday night is, of course, the Roosters versus the Rabbitohs at Allianz Stadium. The line is set at -2.5 for the Bunnies. For the Roosters, Jared Waria-Hargreaves is back and Victor Radley. Two big inclusions in the middle. But the Rabbitohs also have two big inclusions in the middle with Junior Totolo and Hame Sele back. Both sides boosted forward pack, Winnie. 7 sin bins last time they played. How are you seeing this one and how many sin bins are we going to see this time?
Been a bit of talk that the Roosters are going to try and keep it in their pants this time, but it's hard. It's the ultimate rivalry, the ultimate grudge match and revenge for the Roosters as well, because the Bunnies got the better of them and maybe their emotions did too on that Savage Sunday encounter in the first week of the finals. I love the fact that they've moved this fixture. It used to be often played in round one, but I feel like round one is exciting for us all enough regardless. And this game deserves that extra attention, which we get now, primetime spot Friday night. I put the wrong graphic up. I saw a Broncos logo and actually just instinct made me put that Friday night. But of course, it's this one, South's Rabbit Roosters at Allianz, right?
Allianz, correct.
Okay. I'm not sure about... Have we got a system with which order we put them in the graphic? It almost looks like...
Just whoever's the
favorite. The home team's on top? Oh, yes. Okay. Right. I was getting mixed up home and away. So it is at Allianz, and they both get key forwards back, as you mentioned. I'm suspicious looking at that, talking about that graphic, the Roosters being the underdogs. To me, I don't know if I was taking the Roosters fight back them yet, because as you said, Radley and Warrior Hargraves named to play, are we sure? Brandon Smith, like, is he definitely going to be in? I can't quite figure out why Souths are a clear favourite in this one, because when I look at the rosters, I know there's still others out, you know, like Crichton was ruled out pre-season, Tupanua still out, you know, Matt Lodge, so some other key forwards for the Roosters, but I don't know about you, backline Teddy, Swali'i, Manu, for me, cancels out Mitchell, Johnston, Graham. I think it's a game that could definitely go down to the wire, so the only side I could back would be the Roosters. I just had my doubts about whether all the key players are going to be in, and I wouldn't want to take the Roosters now and then find out a player or two is withdrawn. So I kept my powder dry on that one.
You know what? I like the fact that you said it's in round three also, but it doesn't help my tip because although both sides are 1-1, I think I like a little bit more with what I've seen from the Bunnies so far this year. For the Roosters, I thought that win against the Warriors was really scrappy, and against the Dolphins, I thought they were really, really poor. So I am going to go the Rabbitohs here on the basis of them looking a little bit more settled across those opening two rounds. And they have beaten the Roosters 5 times out of the last 6. So you could argue maybe the Bunnies have the wood over them. I do think the line's correct. I do think it'll be a close game. Let's say it's a close game. We know Sam Walker across his career has kicked it around the 75% mark for goal conversions. Latrell Mitchell has never missed a goal at Allianz Stadium, as he calls it, Trellianz Stadium. He's 14 from 14. So in a tight game, could that goal-kicking ability from Latrell, having never missed at this ground, be the difference? I echo what you said, Winnie. You go through these lineups and it's completely even across the park. And with both sides, you know, playing in such a fierce rivalry, it is really hard to pick out mental advantages for either side. Both sides are going to be coming in 100%. And if we do know anything about these two teams in previous encounters, you can almost disregard all of their prior form because they just get up for this game no matter what, no matter who's injured, no matter who's there. They both know how much it means. I am going to go the Bunnies, as I said, but if you like an underdog, I would say, at least from a betting perspective, don't shy away from the Roosters, because I do view this as truly a bit of a coin flip matchup. And for this game, of course, we will have our better same game multi guys. We don't have it just yet. We will have it out on our socials tomorrow. If you want to prepare for that, the better link is in the show description. If you join through us, it supports the show, but also feel free to reach out to the Tripod Facebook page. As I say, Winnie's Multi will be up Friday afternoon. I'll have it on my page also. If you want more NRL analysis, check out the Fox Lab on the Better YouTube channel. This week, they put the panel to the Storm and the Storm under the highlight, while performances like the Dolphins and Felice Kaufusi are also spoken about and highlighted. They'll also have Josh Morris giving a multi with an all Queensland feel to it. With that being said, Winnie, anything else to add on this blockbuster Friday game, or should we move over to Saturday?
Did you want to respond to Jordan's comment there at all? Up to you, or else take us to Saturday.
You know what, Jordan? I did do a funny video on TikTok once where I did a Q&A and someone asked me, how many women have you bagged as you did? And I said to my missus, let's G up a video here. I'll say, you don't want to have any new yell in the background. It performed quite well, but the answer will still remain secret / hidden. Saturday,
I'll 3 set PM. The total over under 39.5, but we'll let the viewers decide. I love you have got a big following. I'm sure you get a lot of DMs. That's all I'll say.
I'm going to plead the fourth or the fifth or whatever it is in America. I'm not sure. But Saturday, 3 p.m., it's the Titans versus the Storm at Cbus Super Stadium. The line is set at -6.5 for the Storm. For the Titans, Brian Kelly returns from his suspension, which pushes Phil Sammy to the wing for the injured JoJo Fifita. Sam Verrills is out. He actually played last round with a broken collarbone. A tough little bugger there. Chris Randall moves to hooker in his place. Joe Vuna is back for his first NRL game post ACL tear in 2021. And an exciting debutant, Isaac Fa'asuamalawi, the younger brother of Tino, makes his NRL debut via the bench. For the Storm, big boost here. Justin Olam is returning from his injury early. Tui Kamakamitha and Tarek Sims are back early. That boosts their forward pack massively. And Jonah Pezzett, really, really impressive young halfback in the Blues under 20 squad. He makes his NRL debut at 14. Winnie, are you going the Storm? Are you going to break my heart or are you going to tip my boys?
I'm leaning towards Melbourne. I mean, you've got both sides of very disappointing outings. I was actually going to throw a question straight back at you. Are you glad to catch the Storm at a time like now when they've got a little bit of an injury crisis, when they're clearly not invincible and they've got a lot of their best players out? Or are you, in a way, more nervous because they got thumped last week and you know that bellyache's going to put a rocket up them for this one?
It's so hard to tip the Titans games because, you know, it's head versus heart bias. I will say the Storm certainly didn't back up their not losing two games in a row record last year. It actually happened a few times. It seems that they sort of strayed away from that in recent years. So maybe an opportunity for us to get them. But anytime you versus the Melbourne Storm, as every team knows, it's a very tough game.
I wasn't going to bring this up. I don't know if you remember this, but in 2017, one of the most unexplainable footy results of all time occurred, and it was at Suncorp Stadium. You're nodding, so you already know what I'm going to say. Maybe you recall the final score. Was it like 38, 36, something in that vicinity? The Titans did actually upset that Storm side, which is one of the best ever NRL sides, the 2017 Storm. If you go back and look at them on paper, of course, they won the comp. Titans probably came about bottom two, but the Titans got the Storm on that day. 100 years from now, archaeologists still will not be able to explain that result. Do you remember that game or what happened then?
Only two sides beat them that year. We were one of them. I remember Kane Elgee putting the kick up. It was Anthony Don batting it back to Conrad Hurrell, who was just too big to stop one from 1 meter out. But the reason why I remember it, Winnie, I shut my phone down and I said, I'm not watching this anymore. This is absolute crap. I'm sick of this team. I was off them hard. And then I thought, I'll just have a little Bo Peep with five to go. And we were back in it. And we came back. And at that moment, I said, all right, I'll never leave a game early or I'll never turn a game off early ever, ever again. I'll never do it again. And that's the exact game why.
And how good is it that in our community, there's people, other people in the comments who remember that game as well as the comments come through. That'd be one just to revisit, go back and watch the highlights because you'd be in disbelief when you understand how good that Storm team was demolishing everybody that year. But anyway, coming back to this one, I guess my only takeaway and reason I brought that up is anything can happen. Now, I mentioned the Storm response to round two. That is the key to this matchup for me because I do feel like they'll circle the wagons. So there's basically no circumstances where I was going to be taking your Titans this week. Sorry, Clarkie, even with the start. And then on top of that, they get the reinforcements. So you mentioned Coates, Olam, Kamakamitha, Sims. Verrills will be a big out for the Titans. While, you know, Foran's playing, but everyone made him out to be the second coming in Nathan Cleary. Like everyone I talked to last week was, oh, if Foran's playing, I'm tipping the Titans against the Dragons. I'm like, did I miss something? He's a good player. He's experienced. But then suddenly he decides whether they win or lose every week. I don't know. And as we saw, they were beaten quite handily. Now, look, I've been talking about teams in their home opener and the extra kind of passion and the extra fuel they get off the crowd. And to be fair, this is the Titans' home opening game, and I know Tristan will probably be there in the Top Sport Lounge, something that we might actually be able to arrange for some of our followers to experience this season. But in saying that, yeah, it's Melbourne or nothing for me. I think that the key is to this game is the Titans' experience forwards. So Tino, his younger brother, getting a debut, but Fotuaker, David Fifita, these guys will have to step up because the Storm are going to come out aggressive for sure. So I would have been close to Storm as a best bet. Over a converted try, I left it alone. But I'd be surprised if the Storm do lose back-to-back.
Yeah, that's what I was going to ask you, but you did answer it there, whether Storm outright or with that margin. So just Storm outright. Look, I am going to tip the Titans purely out of bias here. Every reason I have to tip them is my opinion, and the stat I'll get to at the end shows you why you should probably disregard it. I feel like the Storm had a few cracks showing the windshield last week against the Bulldogs, and it's not quite the Melbourne Storm team we knew of past years. So I do feel there's an opportunity there for the Titans to maybe get a surprise win, just because they've got so many injuries at the moment, and it just didn't look like the same Melbourne Storm team to me. Completely my opinion, though, so you know, don't read into it. The challenge for the Titans remains playing the full 8 minutes. We saw last week against the Dragons in the first 20. They're a capable footy side. They can win games, but can they stay focused for an entire 80? I have a theory that because we're playing a great side that's been so great for so long in the Melbourne Storm, our captain used to play for the Mantino, that will be the motivation for them to stay focused for the full 80, and that could make us a more dangerous football side. But Storm have won their past 8 against us. The last time the Titans beat the Storm at Seabus, I think it was Skilled Park back then. It was over a decade ago. So potentially disregard my tip and give me a massive spray in the comments section if I'm absolutely honest there. And you know, Winnie, I think I'm going to get a spray for this next tip as well. It's the Cowboys versus the Warriors at Queensland Country Bank Stadium. The line is set at -10.5 for the Cowboys. For the Cowboys, Tom Chester, an exciting young fullback, replaces the suspended Scott Drinkwater, as does Shibasaki for Pete Hiku in the centres there. For the Warriors, Tane Tuapiki, a young guy who actually used to play for the Titans, makes his NRL debut at fullback for the injured Chance Nickel-Klukstar, and Jackson forwards out, so Bunty Arfola starts, and Bailey Sirenen moves to the bench. I'm going to get it out early, Winnie. I am tipping the Warriors. I'm guessing you're going against me. Who have you got in this one?
Look, I don't think you're crazy. I'll say that. I couldn't go against the Cowboys in this one, but we start with New Zealand. They impressed me last week. They hung in that game against the Roosters, as I described in the recap. But North Queensland's still the better side to me, and you've got to always be wary of a good side that is coming off a defeat. In fact, North Queensland played pretty well, and given the circumstances down in Brisbane, and obviously the sin bin really changed the game. But you've got to go back to round one, where the Cowboys could kind of treat that like a loss as well, because they left a lot to be desired in their second half of their opening game of the season. So I feel like they want to remedy that. Now, in terms of why the Warriors might get up for this one, I don't know if you're going to touch on this, Tohu Harris, 200th game. He's a beast and an inspirational leader. And you know what? The Cowboys had another opponent last year with the Kiwi captain playing a milestone game, and it was Tarmow. And the Tigers did beat the Cowboys on that day. Just unfortunately, the bunker didn't see it that way. And I don't need to remind Tigers how that game ended. So could the Warriors get close? I think they could. You know, on paper, the Warriors actually match up all right with the Cowboys in terms of their forwards. They really have a strong forward pack in this one. I also think there could be something there with what Webster has done with this side and the resolve that he's instilled in them. So while I think the Cowboys will win, I thought the line was a little bit too high, and I think could be a decent game of footy we've got in our hands here.
Speaking of the line, for our live viewers, I do apologize. I've got the teams mixed up there on the graphics, just to reiterate. It's the Cowboys.
Oh, good call.
-10.5. My apologies there. But I am tipping the Warriors here for a boil over, which we've seen in the first two rounds. It can happen this year. Dolphins over the Roosters, and last week it was the Doggies over the Storm. When he touched on it, it's Tohu Harris, his 200th NRL game, their leader, their captain, an inspirational player that's always at the top of any sort of stats or VB hard index, whatever it is, he is always at the top there. 60 tackles for one miss last week. This guy's a fantastic leader. And so I do think the Warriors are right in this against a drink waterless Cowboys side. Tane Tuipiki, he looks the goods, guys. Last year in Q Cup, in 15 games, he scored 14 tries and set up 22. He also broke the line 25 times and averaged around 150 metres. In his two New South Wales Cup games so far this year, he scored in both. So I think he's a great replacement for CNK, and I think that'll also give the Warriors a big boost. They looked very happy to see his debut announced on Instagram this week. The Warriors have won only one of their last six in Townsville, so it is a very tough road trip for them. And we know the Cowboys are a quality side here, but I look at the Warriors last week. I saw them miss a few opportunities against the Roosters that if they ice them and improve slightly this week, with the Cowboys missing a few key troops, my gut feeling does tell me the Warriors are on here for a boil over. That could be completely wrong, Winnie. As I said, the 1-6 stat in Townsville doesn't make for pretty viewing, especially when you're tipping that side. But yeah, my gut feeling, I like them. I like them.
You know what I'm thinking? I might have to add an extra best bet and take, can I take the Cowboys plus 10.5 in this game? Will that be all right since it says that on the graphic? Or if that becomes late,
I'll tell you what, if we could get those odds at around $1.90, that would be one of the best bets this round.
Hey, they make mistakes from time to time, usually not that extreme, and usually that not something that would be on it. But having said that, no, I'm looking forward to this one. I hope that the Cowboys bring it. I always want the underdog to make a good game of it, unless it's a match like the next one and I've got a best bet on the favorite.
We do have a best bet on the Broncos, and we cashed our best bet on the Broncos last week. A lot of people were in the Instagram comment section, and they said, Cowboys all the way, these tips suck. One person said, I know what I won't be backing. Well, sorry to say, mate, but you should have been backing us. The line for this one, it's the Broncos and the Dragons at Suncorp Stadium on a Saturday. The Friday night Broncos don't know what they're going to, they're not going to know what to do with themselves. The Lions set at -12.5 in their favor for the Broncos. Corey Oates is out with that broken jaw, obviously. So Jesse Arthurs replaces him on the wing. For the Dragons, it is zero changes to their 17. I know you've got a best bet on the Broncos, Winnie, so tell me why you like them.
So again, I've got -11.5, and it is 12.5 on the screen. So again, the beauty of being able to shop around, if you like the Dragons, you're going to take the plus with the pie line. And if you want the Broncos, you're going to lay the lower line there. So in the recap, I spoke a fair bit about Brisbane and how good they really are and why we've been on them for best bets the last 2 weeks. For anyone who's kind of new to following along and kind of my method of betting, it's certainly not a case of just backing the same team every single week. Because what happens is if a team keeps winning against the spread, the market catches up and the public starts to realize how good they are. So it's rare that you can keep backing the same team. But what we might get an advantage from here is the fact, as I said at the top, that the Dragons were so impressive last week as well. Luckily for us, also helped us win a couple of bets in the best bet and the mixed matchup. Now, both these teams really took over a game where they were down early and then scored four straight tries after the 30-minute mark. I look at Brisbane and I just know at home with the momentum that they've got and the positive energy that they've rebuilt, thinking back to how ugly it got last year and how different of a side they are right now, I cannot get out in front of them. Carrigan was easy. I said Carrigan was suspended end of last year and we all understand how important he is. I don't know if everyone realised Haas was limited with the shoulder and how much better he is now that he clearly looks like that's rehabilitated. Same for Staggs, was not the same player last year, looks better. And Herbie was another big out that looked overlooked, I thought, last year, is massive. Did you say who else? Capewell.
Played from round 14 with a shoulder that needed surgery as well.
Exactly. And then, of course, Walsh. What more can you say? We've said it all in the recap that they've got him this year. So there's lots of reasons why this side does not resemble the Broncos team that played the Dragons in their final game in 2022. I know the Dragons aren't pushovers, but if both sides play as well as they can, Dragons shouldn't be able to hang with the Broncos at Suncorp. So I was willing to play that -11.5.
I'll tell you what, Winnie, I pretty much mirror everything you said. I like the Broncos here big time. They have been so impressive to me to start 2023 with wins over top four teams last year in the Panthers and the Cowboys. But they've not started a season 3-0 since 2009. Despite that, I am genuinely really, really confident they do that. This is probably the most confident I am this round on any team that they do beat the Dragons and beat them well, especially at Suncorp, where the Dragons have lost their past 5 in a row at Suncorp. So it's not been a happy ground for them at all. Dragons were great last week, but I do wonder, as we touched on earlier, Winnie, how important is the bye? how much can we attribute to a bye in round one? Maybe not so much, but maybe as the season goes on, we'll start to say, wow, byes really are important. It was their season opener at home, and let's face it, it looked like the Titans fell asleep there after 20. They really weren't where they should be. So it was a tough game to get a gauge off the Dragons, or maybe I'm just being a salty Titans fan, but I thought it was a tough game to get a gauge of them. Cobbo has scored a try in 9 of his past 7 at Suncorp. So a better than 1 strike right there in the last 7 games. And my friends at WikiAI, I asked them this week to send me through the top 10 most likely try scorers. That's data-based AI. And Cobbo has a 53% chance to score, which doesn't sound that good, but even the number one this week is Alex Johnson at 60%. So I am going to offer a multi that I've got on Top Sports at $3.17 odds earlier today. I like the Broncos -5.5 going in at halftime. I think they'll start really well in front of their home fans. I think they'll finish the game 13-plus overall, covering this line, which is one of your best bets also. And I do think that Cobbo will score any time, given he scored 9 of his past 7. So, yeah, I had a look on Top Sports, and I got $3.17 earlier today. Look, I'm not the betting expert here, and when you give tips, you know, you do say gamble responsibly. I will add gamble very responsibly with that one, punters. But what do you think, just off the top there, of that multi-winnie? Do you like it? Well, not really.
Well, I think you're feeling yourself just coming up with your own same game multi, mate. So that multi, how many has Cobbo scored in his last 7, did you say?
He's scored 9 times in his past 7 at Suncorp.
Wow, so better than a try a game. And I had him in my same game to score last week, and that was one of the games he came up empty. So I kind of like you going back to the well the week after he didn't get over, because I feel like there's that bigger chance that he's going to be hungry. I like the Broncos, as you said. And I wanted to also give you credit because although you are a one-eyed Titans fan and you weren't on the recap with me, you did say a week ago that you had a feeling the Dragons were going to win that one. So you did kind of sniff that out. So you picked the Dragons' performance last week, and you, alongside me, think that they might come down to earth this week on Saturday night.
Yeah, absolutely. As I did say there, guys, I touched on my multi there from Top Sport. So speaking of Top Sport, if we've got the clip ready, Winnie, let's hear from their CEO, Tristan, with some exclusive market insights for round 3.
G'day everyone, Tristan here from Top Sport, and what a weekend we had just gone. There was some more upsets. The Dolphins kept rolling on. You guys got us on the mixed matchup, which was doubly painful for me. I'm still proudly wearing the Top Sport Titans shirt. The Titans started well for first half an hour, and then they just reverted back to their 2022 form, which was pretty disappointing to watch. And conceded a few tries, which got the Dragons above the Sharks score. So well done there. But yeah, it was a bit of a double whammy watching the game at the pub. The matches this weekend where we've seen the biggest shifts, there's probably been 2 games which have moved the hardest. One of those being the Bulldogs against the Tigers. This game opened at 6.5. It's moved out to 10.5. Obviously, there's a bit of turbulence there at the Tigers. There's a couple other players in doubt. So Bulldogs have been very, very well back. They were obviously massively impressive there against the Storm. So it'll be interesting if they can back that up again this week. And the other game that's moved significantly has been the Knights against the Dolphins. Now, this has been a really, really tricky game to price. We opened the match at 2.5. It's been out to 4.5. There has been a bit of a pushback for the Knights at that 4.5. I certainly didn't think we'd be pricing the Dolphins up as a favourite in any game for the first few weeks of the season anyway. If this game was at the start of the season, I think the Knights probably might have been 8 to 9.5 point favourites, I think, if they both had full rosters. Obviously, the Roosters were 18.5, and I think that line was compressed because of the first game of the season. But I think if the Knights had been playing at home, then that's probably where we would have seen it sit. Obviously, they've had they had a pretty gutsy win last week. But they've got so many players out. So Dolphins, will they be able to manage the expectation now being favourite? Time will tell. If they can win, and if the Broncos can win, it'll set up a mouthwatering clash next week at Suncorp. So good luck if you're having a bet over the weekend, and of course, gamble responsibly.
Thank you, Tristan. Turn your volume back down now so I don't burst your eardrums. I'm sorry that Tristan's clip came through quieter. It's hard for us with the live control panel. It's something that I'll try and work on to get better for you guys. Maybe he was just quiet because he's still burning on the inside from the mixed matchup getting up last week, Clarkie. But fascinating insight. I asked him that question. what would this Knights Dolphins line, obviously going back to Friday, what would that have been if both teams were full strength and it was round one? And he said Knights minus 8.5 and 9.5. And instead it's a Dolphins minus 5.5. So you're talking about a 16-point or a 14-point adjustment based on what we've seen of the Dolphins and who's out for the Knights. So that is pretty massive, but it's probably warranted. He also touched on this Bulldogs game as being one that they've seen a lot of action on the side that I like as well.
Yeah, and I think with the Dolphins, even Dan, one of our viewers earlier, he had a plus 5.5 ticket. I'm not sure as of how recent, but certainly it just shows.
He would have got that before the Knights played and before their injuries. But you're right. It shows how the market can shift and getting in early.
Yeah, absolutely. It shows that. And I think it also shows that how unpredictable the NRL can be and how fast things can change in the sport where, you know, 7 days ago, one thing looks great. Fast forward 7 days. You just never know in this sport. But if you do want a toppy account, guys, you can sign up with our code. It's TP Live. If you do choose to sign up using our code, make sure to message Jacob on the Tripod Facebook page. With that in mind, we've got our mixed matchup for round three. Round two cashed only just. I think Dragons scored 32 and it was 30 for the Sharks. Is that right, Winnie?
That's right. That's exactly right.
So very, very close one there. But yeah, have we got our round three mixed matchup ready?
I will show the mixed matchup after we discuss this next game if you want, because it does tie into the Dogs Tigers.
Perfect. Absolutely. Just before we move on to that game, my top sport anytime try scorer this week is Paul Alamotti from the Bulldogs. Last week, he had a try assist, 190 metres, 3 tackle breaks. He is still yet to score in his NRL career, but the Tigers, all their back line is again being reshuffled. And Adam Dwayne actually didn't train today. He's got a foot injury that the Tigers are monitoring. So I think there's an opportunity for Alamotti to score his first. This game is at Belmore Sports Ground. The line is set at minus 10.5 for the Bulldogs. For the Doggies, there is nil changes to their 17 that built the Storm. For the Tigers, there's a fair few changes. Dane Laurie is out injured, so Charlie Staines moves to fullback. That brings Junior Tupo onto the wing. Tommy Talau is out, so Stafford Tuller moves to center. Sean Blaw and Fanua Pole both return. Papali'i is out suspended. That's a huge loss. And John Baton is named on an extended bench. There's mixed reports on this, Winnie. Well, some media are saying no, round four, and others have actually used the headline, Bateman's back. So could be clickbait, could be real. We're not too sure yet as to whether Bateman is playing. But yeah, we've got a mixed matchup, and I want to know how you're seeing this one.
Well, I like your Alamotti tip. $3.40 he is. That is the tip that Toppy are deliberately pricing aggressively, and that is the best price you will get about him anywhere in the $2 range, or not in the $2 range, but I've seen him like $2.60 in some places and maybe $3.320 elsewhere. But for a center on a team that's getting towards a double-digit favorite and a team that I think wins by double digits, he's going to get a sniff, I reckon. Look, the biggest question I have to answer for this game is, what did Channel 9 do to deserve opening the season with three straight Sunday afternoon spots with the West Tigers playing? I said it at the top that it is near disarray for the Tigers. I know preseason I said, look, they've got time, new regime, new recruits, but they've gone so badly in the first 2 weeks and they were favourites at Leichhardt in both games. I'm not going to repeat everything that went in their favour on Sunday, as I did in the recap, that they still couldn't find a way to win. But it goes beyond not winning. That's the thing. It's the lack of points. It's the lack of execution. And it's excuse-making. It's like, you mentioned Bateman. I think he's got to play in this one. But, like, did he have an ankle injury? Surely he did. But why didn't they just release that? They said he's acclimatizing. Like, are you kidding? This team's out there fluffing around. And you got a world-class second rower like Bateman, you're not going to throw him out there. What are you saving him for? You know what I mean? So, and obviously all the other players you said are out as well. I also don't want people to forget in the season preview, we gave you the opportunity to get the Tigers at $13 to repeat and take the wooden spoon out again this year. And that was best odds on Toppy. That's $3.50 now if you did take it. I know it's a long way to go, but I think there's a real opportunity. They're going to be 0-3 because I think it's a great opportunity for the Doggies to build on what they did last week. I think there's going to be zero complacency. You know, sometimes a team gets a comfortable win and thinks they're better than they really are. You think Serraldo is going to let the Dogs do that? It was only 2 weeks ago they got beat 20-plus. So I think I said this at the top, sharp punters, we don't really want to take a team off their best performance, and certainly we don't want to go against teams off a bad performance because usually there's always regression. But I think in this case, we get a discount on the Dogs because they have not been a favourite of this magnitude very many times, none that come to mind for me, in the last few years. And playing at Belmore, I think, gives them a boost. So I'm actually willing to take another pretty solid favourite here, Dogs. And once again, the 9.5 on Sportsbet, better off if you're on the favourite to play the single-digit line, 10.5 on several other bookies.
I've got to touch on the John Bateman injury because, like you said, they haven't really been very transparent about it. But their chairman, Lee Hagapantelis, he actually said to newspapers this week that anyone that suggests Bateman is not acclimatising and has an injury, that he would consider suing them for defamation. Like, come on, man. Like,
well, can we focus all right, well, on we just, can we edit out what I said before?
We might have to. I'm serious.
We're going to have to win a few more bets.
Yeah.
I don't want that, mate.
No, we're going to have to win a few more to cover that. Look, I had here... Look, I'm not going to say what I had about the Tigers. It's quite a nasty sentence. But they're not quite at NRL standard right now. And I am tipping the Bulldogs, especially after how good they looked against that Melbourne Storm side. It was like Cameron Serrato had his fingerprints on this side for a while. He'd been working his systems and structures. And it, you know, didn't quite work in the preseason. It didn't quite work in round one, but it clicked. It looked like it clicked. They looked like a great attacking football side, and defensively they were great too. For the Tigers, more changes to their spine. When you're struggling to win games, the one thing you want is your spine to be somewhat consistent, right? Well, that's not the case. Like, we know Apisai Korosau has a slight calf injury, probably not quite at 100% yet. Now Laurie's out. I don't think Staines at fullback helps them at all. And the other interesting selection, Brandon Wakeham at 14. This is a club that loves Brooks and wants to play Adam Dwayheo at center and fullback and everywhere, but his preferred position of 5'8". And now I've got to ask, why are they selecting the halfback from the Bulldogs that the Bulldogs got rid of and didn't want at 14? I don't really think that's the smartest selection there. That being said, Doggies actually don't have a great record at Belmore recently winning. They've only won one of their last nine there. And the Tigers did show last year that I think it was the Eels game and maybe the Bunnies. They won both by a field goal. Eventually, it all sort of builds up and explodes, and they do have a few good performances. I don't think it's built up quite enough yet, so I don't see that sort of thing happening here against the Dogs. With both sides, with how both sides played last week, how could anyone sit here and not tip the Bulldogs? I can't find a single reason to tip the West Tigers. And that's coming from someone that's tipped the Titans and the Warriors this round. I think that kind of sums up where the Tigers are at, right? It's not looking pretty. With that being said, I think we should leave Tigers fans alone. We both love the Doggies in this one. Onto the Raiders.
Sorry, I can't quite do it. I got to rub it in a little bit further because you've got my best bet. You can lay the 9.5. But the other way you can get at the Dogs in this one is to take the Bulldogs to outscore two teams combined this weekend. I am betting the Dogs will outscore the Tigers, which would just involve winning this game, but plus the Dragons score. So I think they're going to beat the Tigers by more than however many the Dragons score against Brisbane. So could be 14 plus, 16 plus. You know, maybe Brisbane holds the Dragons to 10 or under. That is $2.55. Again, it's on Top Sports, so you can use the code TP Live, and you can have up to $150 with that on toppy as well. But as you say, Clarky, there's probably enough Tiger bashing for us. But obviously, the mixed matchup builds straight off of my two favourite bets of the weekend. So if you like that one, 255 is pretty juicy, I reckon.
I like it. The Broncos' defence has been awesome this year, and I think they could keep Dragons to a low score there. Final game of the round, guys. It's the Raiders and the Sharks at GIO Stadium. The line is set at -3.5 in favour of the Sharks. For the Raiders, Atta Mariotta is out with a broken hand, so rookie Trey Mooney joins the bench for his first game of 2023. And for the Sharks, Jack Williams returns from his head injury, which means Connor Tracy drops out. Still no Nico Hines in this one. So how are you seeing it? Can the Sharkies get a win without Hines, or are you going the Raiders here, Winnie?
I see this one as a great game to end round three. In fact, Channel 9 should be trying to see if they can swap this for the previous one, if you ask me. Look, the Raiders are a bit like the Eels. They're an 0-2 team that could be 2-0. But nevertheless, they got two narrow defeats in the state of Queensland. What they've got going for them is coming home and playing their home opener. And I do not want to bet against a home team that's desperate. And I do think that there is a higher degree of motivation to not go 0-3 where you're in a hole that is really hard to climb out of. There's a bunch of stats that float around about how few teams, you know, go on to do anything if you lose your first three. I do recall the Cowboys many years ago did go 0-3, but, you know, that was a special Cowboys team led by Thurston. For a team that was predicted to be on the fringe of the eight, if the Raiders lose their first three games, it's kind of like uphill climbing the rest of the way. But still no Josh Papali'i either. And I just haven't seen it. Like, fullback in the modern game is so important. And Chris is just, you know, a fill-in. He's just not doing it for me. Whereas Kennedy, dynamic, had a hat-trick last week for the Sharkies. I really like what the Sharkies are about. You know, obviously they upset me last week. They burned me last week. It doesn't instantly make me flip and want to back the Sharks every week, but I got to respect them a bit more. And I like their chemistry and their balance under Fitzgibbon. And if I have to have a tip, I do think that the Sharkies might actually scrape a win out of Canberra, but I know they won't do it easy.
Yeah, I'm pretty much seeing the game the exact same. I like the Sharks here, but I will say the Raiders have been 100% in both of their losses this year. So I'm not quite sold either way on this one. Sharks have averaged 12 errors per game to open the season. And I do think they'll need to be better there. They have scored the most points of any team, so there is that. But with the Raiders being a pretty solid side defensively, I do think they can probably keep the Sharks to 20 or under. So for the Sharks, the focus needs to be on their defense this week. I think it could be a pretty low-scoring contest, if I'm honest. Raiders have a great record over the Sharks. They've won their past eight against them. And I know when I sent you through the first agenda, I had one of eight. And then I went back and double-checked. I thought, it didn't sound quite right. And I recorrected it. So they have won their last eight straight against the Sharks. A fantastic record against them. And really something that has gone unsuspecting to me. I was not aware of that at all. There's milestones on both sides. Jack Whiten's playing his 100th game, as is Jesse Ramian. So a little bit of a mental edge evened out there for both sides. And I do think Ricky's Raiders will be absolutely desperate. I think Ricky at home will have his side right up for this. He will not want to start the season 0-3, as you touched on, for the record and the history that comes with that. So I think the Raiders will be desperate. Dare I say it, I'm going to go the Sharks by a field goal. I think it'll be that close winning. I'm going to go the Sharks by a field goal. I know you've got a close one in this one as well, but it should be a fantastic game to close out the round. What's that beautiful comment that's just popped up on screen?
I'm going to pump up your tyres there, mate. People are talking about past co-hosts. We've had some good ones, and you're another good one as far as I can tell, mate. It's been a good start to the season, even though we're only 2 weeks in. But hopefully people are enjoying it. We're always open to feedback of followers. And I know you're pretty much about to wrap the show. I did share a tip in the group. I'm just going to throw it out there. If you follow NBA, I picked Joel Embiid, $3.25 to win the MVP. It's a fun award to bet on, and there's only about 15 games left in the NBA season. Check the reasoning, check the group. If you like that, I reckon he wins it. You got anything else for us, Clarky, or we're just going to bid the viewers farewell until Sunday to recap? And are you going to be here even if the Storm demolish the Titans?
I give the viewers my word, I will be here. That'll wrap up the show, guys. Thank you very much for watching. For footy content throughout the weekend, check out Clarky's Rugby League column all over social media. For betting, banter, and your own tips, if you please, check out the Tripod Punting Group on Facebook. Apart from that, Winnie and I will see you on Sunday after the final game with our round 3 recap. Cheers for being here, guys. We will see you then. See you later.
Lego.